Thanks for listening to Radio Heteroglossia. I'm Anna Fonseca, and our guest today is Dr. Eve Rosenhaft. Dr. Eve Rosenhaft is a historian of modern Germany and a professor of German historical studies at the University of Liverpool in the United Kingdom. She's also the acting director of the 18th Century Wars Research Center in the Department of Modern Languages and Cultures at the University of Liverpool. Today, we will be discussing the article written by Dr. Rosenhaft entitled Blacks and Gypsies in Nazi Germany, The Limits of the Racial State, published in 2011 in the History Workshop Journal, which through an analysis of the experiences of Black and Gypsy peoples in the Holocaust, provides insights into the nuances encountered between official and everyday perceptions of difference and the variety of experiences of the Holocaust by the different groups that were persecuted during the Nazi regime. Dr. Rosenhaft, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
First, I would like to ask you about the reasons that prompted you to write this article and what would be the main ideas that people can take from it.
The article brings together two areas of research that I've been following for several years. One is the experience of German Zinti, that's to say German gypsies, in the Holocaust. And the other is the history of the Black presence in Germany, so the people we might call Afro-Germans in the 20th century. In the case of German Zinti, my main interest is in the Holocaust. In the case of Black Germans, the question of their experience in the Holocaust came in the context of a larger study of the career of a generation of African migrants in Germany and their children. I wrote the article to bring those two together because these are two groups of which people have been aware that they were victimized during the Holocaust without necessarily having all the details together, in particular in the case of Blacks. There'd been nothing substantial published using German sources. They're other victims in the sense that their experience shares certain qualities with that of the Jews and with each other, and at the same time there are differences. And in fact, it's sort of putting the similarities and the differences together that I thought was a good reason to bring together my thoughts in an article.
In regards to the experience of Afro-Germans during the Nazi regime, a historical context that is provided in your article to understand the experiences of some Africans in Germany during the Holocaust refers to the colonial and post-colonial experiences in Africa. How did the history of the German colonization of some parts of Africa encourage or put limits to the Nazi persecution of some Africans in Germany?
The core of the Black population in Germany in the 20th century was made of the families of men who had traveled from the German colonies to Germany, most of them, in fact, during the colonial period. Germany had colonies in Africa from 1884 until 1919. And those colonies were East Africa, which is now Tanzania, Southwest Africa, which is now Namibia, Cameroon, and Togo. And it was mainly from Cameroon and Togo, a bit more from East Africa, very few from Namibia. Men who traveled to Germany in the colonial period to be educated and trained with the idea that they would go back to the colonies. And then some other people followed them simply as migrant workers. Now, once they were in Germany after 1914, after the war broke out, they couldn't leave. And a relatively small group of them then became trapped, if you like, or settled in Germany. They married German women, they had children, and these are the people then who become the Black Germans and fall into the Nazi net, if you like. The impact that has on their experience in National Socialism is that their status as former colonial subject provides a certain amount of protection for them because Germany had lost its colonies in 1919 as a result of losing the First World War. And the Nazis had some hope that they might be able to recover the colonies. While they hoped to recover their colonies in Africa, which meant ensuring that Africans had a favorable opinion of them, the Nazi authorities tended to protect people who really were Africans from the worst effects of discrimination. We can see examples of people who had lost their jobs under racial legislation, given their jobs back because they represented this link to the colonies. It was also the case that when the Nazis wanted to carry on propaganda in favor of recovering the colonies or to remind Germans of this great colonial tradition, what they did was to deploy former colonial subjects or black people who looked African to perform in a traveling show called the Africa Show or the Afrika Show. And again, what this meant was that during the 1930s, black Germans could earn some money and could be relatively protected as long as they continued to be the colonials that the Nazis wanted them to be.
You point out in your article how certain moments of contradiction between official and everyday racial discourses did not guarantee safety, but they did create spaces for negotiation. So in the case of Afro-Germans, can we consider the perception of them as former colonial subjects that you just explained as an example of those moments of contradiction that created spaces for negotiation within the Nazi regime?
Yes, I think that's right. And it's a space of negotiation between black people and the authorities, and also among the authorities. Until the early 1940s, there were still men in government in Germany who had been associated with the colonial office before 1919 and who had real sympathy for these former colonial subjects, who knew them personally.
In the case of Gypsy peoples, were there some contradictions of the regime that they were able to exploit to negotiate their experiences during the Holocaust?
No, I don't think there were. And I think that's one of the differences between the situation of Gypsies and black people, and one of the tragedies, the particular tragedies of the situation of Gypsies. They were almost entirely without allies. They had no international allies, unlike the Jews, and even black people, when legislation directed against publicly consorting with people of color was suggested in 1933, it had to be set aside because of protests from Africa and Asia and Latin America. In that sense, even black people had international protectors. The Gypsies had nobody.
And so, Dr. Rosenhaft, can we talk about a Holocaust of Gypsies in the same way we talk about the genocide of Jewish people that occurred during the Nazi regime?
This is an area in which there's still a lot of controversy, partly because we simply don't know the numerical dimensions of the genocide against Gypsies. There's no question that it was a genocide, and there's no question that even if we look at German Gypsies alone, the intention was to prevent there being another generation of Germans, Sinti, and Roma. Himmler had this vision of separating the pure Gypsies out, and when in 1943 all the mixed-race Gypsies were deported to Auschwitz on Himmler's order, his vision was to keep pure-blooded ones alive on a kind of reservation, but the intention was not to allow them to go on to reproducing and increasing in number. So even within Germany, the Nazi vision is that there should be no Gypsies in the future. Once Germany invaded Eastern Europe in the occupied territories, it's becoming increasingly clear that there are quite deliberate hunting down of Gypsies in a way similar to the deliberate hunting down of Jews that we see in the first years of the war. Before the extermination camps are set up, there's mass murder in the countryside. That said, as I say, because we don't know nearly enough yet, we don't know the numbers that would say, yes, it was the same. The intention was genocidal. Mass murder is certainly happening. The differences are in the details.
Dr. Rosenhaft, thank you very much for your time and for sharing with us your knowledge and points of view about these issues.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk to you.
The conversation continues. If you have a comment that you would like to contribute to today's discussion, please don't hesitate to leave us your opinions in the comment section below this episode. Thanks for listening.